Samin Nosrat's Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat has garnered some serious praise, and it's interesting to see the different angles people are coming from.
Yeah, like Alice Waters praising the book's approach to cooking with real, seasonal food. It ties in nicely with the Chez Panisse philosophy.
Exactly. And the emphasis on how cooking should feel, you know, full of joy, exploration, spontaneity, that really resonates.
For sure. It's not just about following a recipe. It's about understanding the how and why.
And then there's Yotam Ottolenghi drawing a parallel with Michael Pollan's simple yet profound advice on what to eat. Eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
It's like Samin Nosrat did for how to cook what Michael Pollan suggested we eat. Salt, fat, acid, heat. So simple, yet it encapsulates so much.
It's brilliant, really. Those four elements are like the compass points of cooking.
And April Bloomfield, a chef who knows flavor, emphasizes the book's practicality. It's a must-have for anyone who wants to level up their cooking game.
Absolutely. It's not just for beginners. Even seasoned cooks can gain valuable insights. Plus, the shout-out to Wendy McNaughton's illustrations is spot-on. They're informative and fun.
I was going to say, they make the book so much more engaging. And Rebecca Skloot, huh? What an interesting connection.
Yeah, she highlights the book's blend of storytelling, clear scientific explanation, and a genuine love for food. It's a recipe for a delicious read.
It seems like a cookbook that's also a page-turner, which isn't always the case.
Right? And speaking of recipes, the authors of Joy of Cooking praise the book for empowering home cooks to move beyond recipes.
Yeah, that's a bold move for a cookbook.
It is, but they see it as a guide to cooking intuitively, trusting your palate. It makes sense, right?
Totally. And Heidi Swanson, I love her work. She calls it a new generation culinary resource.
It's like a roadmap for navigating any kitchen, any ingredients. It acknowledges that everyone starts somewhere different, but these four elements are a universal language.
It's about understanding the fundamentals so you can create something delicious, whether you're following a recipe or just winging it.
Nosrat's own culinary journey is fascinating, isn't it? From Chez Panisse to Italy, working with Benedetta Vitali and Dario Cecchini, to exploring global cuisines, it sounds like an incredible apprenticeship.
Yeah, her experiences at Chez Panisse, like the polenta incident with Cal Peternel, are great examples of how learning to taste is paramount.
Right? That zing she describes, that's what we're all after. And the emphasis on salting at the right time, not just the right amount, is a game changer.
Definitely. It's about understanding how salt works on a chemical level, how it affects different foods, meat, fish, vegetables.
And her descriptions of working in Italian kitchens, seeing how they use fat, olive oil, butter, pork fat, it highlights fat's role beyond just a cooking medium.
It's about flavor, texture, the whole experience, like the olive oil harvest, learning about regional variations, or the way fat renders in a slow-cooked dish.
Then there's the acid element. It's not just about sourness, it's about balance. The Thanksgiving example she gives, with all the rich food lacking brightness, everyone overdoing it on the cranberry sauce.
Yeah, because it's the only acidic element on the plate. Her mom's insistence on the pucker is relatable too.
It is. It makes you realize how crucial acid is, whether it's vinegar, lemon, or something fermented. And it's more than just a final touch. The example of the carrot soup needing vinegar is a good illustration of that.
Totally. And then heat, the transformer. Her experience with the spit at Eccolo underscores the importance of observing, responding to sensory cues, rather than just following a timer.
I like her analogy of cooking like jazz. Master the notes, salt, fat, acid, heat, and then you can improvise. You know, like the story of Enzo, the pizzaiolo in Florence.
Yeah, it highlights the intuition that comes with experience. Cooking by feel. The book seems like a guide to developing that intuition.
It's about trusting your senses, sight, smell, sound, touch, as well as taste, and paying attention to how different ingredients respond to heat, whether it's gentle simmering or intense searing.
Right? It's empowering you to move beyond blindly following instructions to understand the why behind the what.
And the recipe section isn't just a list of dishes. It's like a toolkit for putting these principles into action. Like the avocado salad matrix. So many variations based on simple combinations.
It's about understanding the building blocks so you can create your own variations. And the emphasis on quality ingredients. using fresh herbs, grinding your own spices.
It all ties together, right? Salt, fat, acid, heat, and quality ingredients. The anecdotes, the global perspective, the practical advice. It seems like a truly unique approach to cooking.
Absolutely. It's about understanding the underlying principles of good cooking so you can create delicious food no matter what you're making. It's about empowering you to be a better cook. Plain and simple.
So, we were talking about fixing oversalted dishes, right? And there are some pretty clever tricks here. Like, if you've got a big pot of something that's too salty, just make more. It's simple, really.
Yeah, just double the recipe, essentially. That's surprisingly practical.
Exactly. And if that's too much food?
Which it probably is. Have it. Fix half. Save the other half. Brilliant, right? I guess it's better than wasting a whole batch or spending a fortune on olive oil trying to save a ruined mayonnaise.
Oh, for sure. And sometimes salty food just needs...
balance. It might not be too much salt. It just needs some acid or fat to round it out. Right? A squeeze of lemon, a drizzle of olive oil, that can make all the difference. Sort of like how a little acid brightens up a rich dish.
Precisely. And with things cooked in liquid, like beans or braises...
just change the liquid, right? Ditch the salty stuff, start fresh. Or serve it without the liquid and use a condiment for balance. I see. So you can kind of work around the saltiness. Transform the dish.
Yeah. Shred over-salted meat for a stew or chili. Turn salty fish into salt cod. There are options.
Or, you know, sometimes you just gotta admit defeat. Order a pizza. Tomorrow's another day.
Haha. Exactly. Now this whole thing about the corn custards, it's a great example of how important tasting is, every step of the way.
It's like that zing moment with the polenta, right? You have to learn to taste, and not just salt, but everything. How it interacts, how it changes the dish.
Yeah, yeah. And it's not just about the amount of salt, it's also about when you add it. It's a game changer.
For sure. It's chemistry, really, how salt affects different foods, meat, vegetables, everything, and then the whole cooking as jazz analogy. That's beautiful.
It is. Master the notes. Salt, fat, acid, heat. And then you can improvise like Enzo, the pizzaiolo.
It's about developing that intuition, that feel for cooking. Trusting your senses. Not just taste, but sight, smell, sound, touch. The whole sensory experience.
And this tomato sauce contest. Fascinating. Who knew olive oil could be so crucial, especially for something like tomato sauce?
It's a reminder that ingredients matter. Quality ingredients and how they interact with each other. And then the whole discussion of fat.
It's more than just a cooking medium, right? It's flavor, texture, everything. Like the different olive oils from different regions in Italy. So much variation.
It's about understanding how fat works, how to use it to achieve different textures. Crisp, creamy, flaky, tender, light. It's a whole toolkit.
And the emphasis on layering fats, using different fats for different purposes. That's clever.
Absolutely. It's about building flavor, creating complexity. And then there's the acid element. Not just sourness, but balance, like the Thanksgiving example.
Yeah, the cranberry sauce. Everyone piling it on because it's the only acidic element. It highlights how crucial acid is, whether it's vinegar, lemon, or something fermented.
It's about that pucker, that brightness. It wakes up your palate, and it's not just a final touch. It can be integral to the cooking process, like with the carrot soup.
Exactly. And then heat, the transformer. It's about observing, responding to sensory cues, not just following a timer, like with the spit at Eccolo.
It all comes down to understanding the fundamentals. Salt, fat, acid, heat, and quality ingredients. It's about empowering you to be a better cook, no matter what you're making.
So this section on acid is really fascinating. It's like, who knew acid was so important in cooking, beyond just, you know, making things sour?
Right? It's not just about vinegar and lemon juice. It's a whole world of...
flavor, pickles, dairy, even browning. Yeah, and the way it affects color and texture. Like, don't dress your salad too early or your greens will be dull. But...
acid keeps reds and purples bright. It's like magic. And the thing about acid toughening vegetables, who knew? That explains why my onions never soften in tomato sauce.
Oh, yeah. Cook the onions first, then add the tomatoes and a pinch of baking soda for beans. Genius.
It's all about the chemistry, right? Like how acid helps jam set or how it makes scrambled eggs creamy.
It's science.
Edible science. And this bit about layering acids, cooking acids versus garnishing acids, it's a game changer. Yeah? So like tomatoes in a sauce are a cooking acid, but a squeeze of lemon at the end is a garnishing acid. Got it.
Exactly. And sometimes you need both, like feta, olives, and vinegar in a Greek salad. It's about building layers of flavor.
And the pasta alla vongole example, using the clam juice as the main cooking acid. So smart. And the toasted breadcrumbs at the end.
Extra acid and crunch.
It's all connected. And this whole discussion of umami, it's like the secret ingredient.
It is. Parmesan, ketchup, they add that extra something, that deliciousness, but...
Not too much. There's such a thing as umami, apparently. Haha, right? And balancing sweetness with acid, like a perfect peach. Sweet and tart.
It's nature's perfect balance, and it applies to everything, not just desserts. Roasted beets with vinegar, roasted carrots with lemon.
It's about contrast, right? Cutting through the richness. And the story about Alice Waters and the salad, it's eye-opening.
It is. You have to consider the whole meal, not just the individual dish. The balance of flavors across the entire
experience, exactly. And then this whole thing about improvising with salt, fat, and acid, it's empowering.
So this whole section on different cooking methods, it really opens your eyes to the nuances, you know?
It's like a whole orchestra of techniques, right? Each one bringing its own unique
flavor and texture. Yeah, like who knew there were so many ways to use heat? It's not just about turning on the stove. It's about
controlling the heat. Exactly. From gentle simmering to blazing hot searing. And this whole thing about a bain-marie, genius.
Oh, yeah. I never really thought about using it for anything other than melting chocolate. But keeping mashed potatoes warm without burning them?
Game changer. It is. And the way Nosrat connects braising with poetry? Mark Strand's pot roast. It's like a culinary love letter to slow cooking.
I know, right? The passage of time. It's the key to tender, flavorful braises and stews. And her grandmother's koresh?
Such a great example. Totally. And the descriptions of chez Panisse, browning meat, the aromatic flavor bases, it's like a masterclass in braising.
It is. And the emphasis on layering flavors, building complexity, every step of the way. It's so thoughtful, isn't it?
Yeah, like browning the meat properly, deglazing the pan, building the braise with the vegetables and herbs. It's a whole process.
And the reassurance that braises are almost impossible to ruin, that's a relief. Especially for someone like me who tends to...
improvise, ha, me too. And the whole discussion of blanching and boiling, keeping the water at a rolling boil, I never really thought about it that way.
Right, it's about respecting the ingredients, giving them the right environment to...
thrive, and not overcrowding the pot. I'm so guilty of that. Oh, for sure. And the tip about not using an ice bath?
Mind blown. I always thought that was essential. Yeah, it makes sense though, right? Less time in water, less leaching of nutrients. It's about preserving the...
integrity of the vegetables. Absolutely. And then reducing. It's such a simple technique, but it can make all the difference in flavor and texture.
Yeah? Like concentrating the flavors, thickening the sauce, and the tip about using multiple shallow pans to speed things up?
So clever. It is. The Christmas Eve dinner anecdote is a great illustration of that. Saving the sauce, saving Christmas, and then steaming. Such a gentle way to cook.
It is. Preserving the clarity of flavor. And the apricot cartoccio story? So charming. It's like a little culinary
gift. It is. And the steamy sauté technique, combining steaming and browning, I've got to try that.
So this section on different cooking methods, it really opens your eyes to the nuances, you know?
It's like a whole orchestra of techniques, right? Each one bringing its own unique
flavor and texture. Yeah, like who knew there were so many ways to use heat? It's not just about turning on the stove, it's about
controlling the heat, exactly. From gentle simmering to blazing hot searing. And this whole thing about a bain-marie, genius.
Oh, yeah. I never really thought about using it for anything other than melting chocolate. But keeping mashed potatoes warm without burning them?
Game changer, it is. And the way Nosrat connects braising with poetry, Mark Strand's pot roast, it's like a culinary love letter to slow cooking. The passage of time, you know?
I know, right? The passage of time. It's the key to tender, flavorful braises and stews. And her grandmother's koresh?
Such a great example. Totally. And the descriptions of chez Panisse, browning meat, the aromatic flavor bases, it's like a masterclass in braising.
It is. And the emphasis on layering flavors, building complexity, every step of the way. It's so thoughtful, isn't it?
Yeah, like browning the meat properly, deglazing the pan, building the braise with the vegetables and herbs. It's a whole process. It's not just throwing everything in a pot.
And the reassurance that braises are almost impossible to ruin? That's a relief. Especially for someone like me who tends to...
improvise. Ha, me too. And the whole discussion of blanching and boiling. Keeping the water at a rolling boil? I never really thought about it that way.
Right? It's about respecting the ingredients, giving them the right environment to...
thrive, and not overcrowding the pot. I'm so guilty of that. Oh, for sure. And the tip about not using an ice bath?
Mind blown. I always thought that was essential. Yeah, it makes sense though, right? Less time in water, less leaching of nutrients. It's about preserving the...
integrity of the vegetables. Absolutely. And then reducing. It's such a simple technique, but it can make all the difference in flavor and texture. Concentrating those flavors, you know?
Yeah, like concentrating the flavors, thickening the sauce. And the tip about using multiple shallow pans to speed things up?
So clever. I never would have thought of that. It is. The Christmas Eve dinner anecdote is a great illustration of that. Saving the sauce, saving Christmas, and then steaming. Such a gentle way to cook. Preserving that?
Freshness. It is. Preserving the clarity of flavor. And the apricot cartocho story. So charming. It's like a little culinary
gift wrapped in parchment paper. It is. And the steamy sauté technique, combining steaming and browning. I've got to try that with some green beans. Sounds amazing.
So, this cookbook really dives deep into different cooking methods, huh? It's fascinating how each one brings its own unique flavor and texture to the dish.
It's like they're exploring a whole orchestra of techniques. From gentle simmering to that blazing hot searing, so many ways to use heat, right?
Yeah, and it's not just about turning on the stove. It's about controlling the heat.
Mastering it. Like, who knew a bain-marie could be used for so much more than melting chocolate, right? Keeping mashed potatoes warm without burning them? Genius.
Total game changer. And the way they connect braising with poetry? Mark Strand's Pot Roast. It's like a love letter to slow cooking. The passage of time, you know?
Oh yeah, I love that. It's the key to those tender, flavorful braises and stews. Like the author's grandmother's Koresh. Such a great example.
Totally. And the descriptions of chez panisse, browning meat, building those aromatic flavor bases, it's like a masterclass in braising.
It is. Layering those flavors, building that complexity, every step of the way. It's not just throwing everything in a pot and hoping for the best. There's real thought behind it.
And the reassurance that braises are almost impossible to ruin? What a relief. Especially for someone like me, who tends to
improvise in the kitchen. Sometimes with disastrous results. Ha! Me too. But then there's blanching and boiling. Keeping the water at a rolling boil. I never really thought about it that way.
Right? It's about respecting the ingredients.
Giving them the right environment to thrive. And not overcrowding the pot. Which I'm definitely guilty of. Oh, for sure. We've all been there. Too many vegetables, too little water. It's a recipe for disaster. But the tip about not using an ice bath?
Mind blown. I always thought that was essential for, stopping the cooking process or something. Yeah, but it makes sense, doesn't it? Less time in water, less leaching of nutrients. It's about preserving the...
integrity, the essence of the vegetable. Absolutely. And then reducing sauces. Such a simple technique, but it can make all the difference in the world, you know? Concentrating those flavors.
Yeah, like thickening the sauce, intensifying the flavor. And the tip about using multiple shallow pans to speed things up?
So clever. Never would have thought of that. It is. Like that Christmas Eve dinner anecdote. Saving the sauce, saving Christmas. Talk about a holiday miracle. And then steaming. Such a gentle way to cook, right? Preserving that...
freshness, it is. The clarity of flavor, it's beautiful. And that apricot cartuccio story, so charming. It's like a little culinary...
gift. Wrapped in parchment paper. It is. And then the steamy sauté combining steaming and browning. I've got to try that with some green beans. It sounds incredible. So many techniques to explore.
So, this cookbook really dives deep into different cooking methods, doesn't it? It's amazing how each one, simmering, searing, braising, brings its own unique flavor and texture.
It does. It's like a culinary orchestra, each technique playing its part. And the way they explain why certain methods work better for certain ingredients.
It's eye-opening, yeah. Like, who knew a bain-marie could be used for keeping mashed potatoes warm, not just melting chocolate?
Right? Keeps them warm without scorching. Genius. And that connection between braising and poetry? Mark Strand's Pot Roast, a culinary love letter. The passage of time, it's almost poetic.
It is. Slow cooking. Patience. It's the secret to tender, flavorful braises. Like her grandmother's Koresh.
Oh yeah, those sound amazing. Building layers of flavor over time. And the Chez Panisse descriptions? Browning the meat, the aromatic flavor bases, a masterclass in braising. It makes you want to run to the kitchen and start cooking.
It does. And the best part? Braises are almost impossible to ruin.
That's good to know, especially for someone like me who tends to, improvise. Ha! Same here, sometimes with mixed results. But this whole discussion of blanching and boiling, keeping the water at a rolling boil.
Oh, I never really thought about it. Me neither. But it makes sense. It's about respecting the ingredients, giving them the right environment.
To thrive and not overcrowding the pot. I'm so guilty of that. Oh, we've all been there. Too many vegetables, not enough water. But, and this blew my mind, the tip about not using an ice bath.
I know, right? I always thought that was essential. Me too. But apparently, less time in water, less leaching of nutrients. It's about preserving the...
integrity, the soul of the vegetable. Exactly. And reducing sauces? Such a simple technique, but it makes all the difference. Concentrating those flavors, magic.
Yeah, thickening the sauce, intensifying the flavor, and using multiple shallow pans to speed things up.
Clever. I never would have thought of that. Like that Christmas Eve dinner story, saving the sauce, saving Christmas. Talk about a holiday hero. And steaming, such a gentle cooking method.
Preserving that freshness. I love how they talk about the apricot cartocho, a little culinary gift wrapped in parchment paper. It is. It sounds so delicious. And then the steamy sauté technique, combining steaming and browning? I have to try that.
It sounds incredible. So many techniques to experiment with. This cookbook is a real treasure trove.
So this cookbook, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, it's really something special, isn't it? It's not just a collection of recipes, it's like a culinary philosophy.
Totally. It's like learning the fundamental language of cooking. Once you understand salt, fat, acid, and heat, you can unlock any dish.
Yeah, like the author's story about the midnight cake at Chez Panisse.
Oh yeah, the one with the vanilla cream? That's what hooked her. One bite and she realized the magic of oil-based cakes. It's funny how sometimes the simplest things, like using oil instead of butter, can make the biggest difference. And the way she breaks down each element, like salt, it's not just about adding a pinch, it's about understanding how it affects the entire dish, the flavor, the moisture, even the texture.
Yeah, like seasoning from within?
Absolutely. It's a game changer. And then there's the discussion of different types of salt. Kosher, sea salt, flaky salt. Oh, I never really thought about there being so much variety. And fat! It's not the enemy. It's essential for flavor, texture, everything. Like her descriptions of working in Italian kitchens, seeing how they use fat, olive oil, butter, pork fat, it's eye-opening.
I know, right? It's about understanding how different fats behave at different temperatures.
Their smoke points, how they contribute to the overall sensory experience. And emulsions, mayonnaise. Who knew there was so much science behind a simple emulsion, right? And the way she explains how to fix a broken mayonnaise. It's like kitchen magic. Just a little bit of...
patience and a whisk. Exactly. And acid. It's not just about sourness. It's about balance.
Brightness. Like her mom's insistence on the pucker. So relatable. Totally. It's that zing that wakes up your palate. And it's not just vinegar and lemon juice. It's pickles, dairy, even browning.
Oh. I didn't realize browning created acid. Yeah. And then there's heat, the transformer. It's about understanding how different ingredients respond to heat, whether it's gentle simmering or intense searing, like with the spit at Eccolo.
It's fascinating how she connects different cooking methods with poetry, like Mark Strand's Pot Roast for braising.
Yeah, the passage of time, you know? It's about more than just following a recipe. It's about understanding the why behind the what. It's about developing that intuition, that feel for cooking.
And the recipe section? It's not just a list of dishes, it's like a toolkit for putting these principles into action.
Oh yeah? Like the avocado salad matrix?
Exactly. So many variations based on simple combinations. It's about understanding the building blocks of flavor.
And the emphasis on quality ingredients.
Fresh herbs, grinding your own spices, it all makes a difference. It all ties together, right? Salt, fat, acid, heat, and quality ingredients. It's a holistic approach to cooking, really. It's about empowering you to be a better cook, plain and simple.
And the stories. From Chez Panisse to Italy, her culinary journey is fascinating. The polenta zing incident, the tomato sauce contest, the apricot cartaccio.
They bring the principles to life. They make the book so much more engaging. A real page-turner.
Yeah, and the illustrations?
They're fantastic, informative, and fun. They make the concept so much easier to understand. This cookbook isn't just a guide to cooking. It's a celebration of food, of flavor, of the entire culinary experience.
It is. It's like she's saying, hey, cooking doesn't have to be intimidating. Just understand these four elements, trust your senses, and have fun.
And don't be afraid to
experiment, improvise, taste. Exactly. Well, on that note, a big thank you to our listeners for joining us today. It's been a delicious conversation. Until next time, happy cooking, everyone. This is signing off.
And thanks for listening from